Thank you for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. This morning, we're looking at what is the misery of man? In particular, question 19 of the Shorter Catechism, what is the misery of that estate whereunto man fell? All mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. So let's break that up. First, all mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God. We see in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so, that very phrase, they heard the sound of God walking in the midst of the garden. I think I've mentioned before, many following recently, I should say, in the last few decades, following Jeffrey Niehaus, amongst others, try to argue that this walking is him coming in his fury. Problem is that the phrasing of it is also used later, Leviticus, John, the book of Revelation, elsewhere, to describe the union and communion that God has promised his covenant people forever. And so what we see here is, as God comes in his habitual covenantal presence amongst his people, man flees. It's not just that God kicks him out of the garden, is even before he's kicked out of the garden, man flees because of the shame and guilt of sin. He drove out the man, and at east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so, yes, God does kick him out, does bar him from the tree of life, that sacrament that would have confirmed him and his descendants after him in righteousness for all eternity, but instead he is expelled. But even before he's expelled, he flees from God's communion. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And so, again, part of the curse of sin is its own penalty, that they flee. You flee from God. You hate God. And so, yes, God juridically expels man. Yes, he condemns man. But it is its own curse. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So, the complete lack of communion with God, even though man was created to have fellowship with God. But they're also, apart from this, you're under his wrath and curse. Having lost communion, you're under his wrath and curse. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Not, it will be poured out, it remains. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Knowing God, yet we suppress the truth. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so the wrath of God is poured out, and we are under the curse. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for as it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." We see both in Leviticus 5, might be 4, where anyone who breaks one of these laws is guilty of the whole law. James states it explicitly. And thus you're under his curse. So you're made liable to all the miseries of this life. You know, in Genesis 3:16 through 19, you have 15, you have the promise of the coming of the deliverer, but 16 to 19, you have the God declaring all the miseries, you know, by the sweat of the brow you shall eat, you know, the pain in childbearing, all of those curses. But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And just to make sure you don't get the wrong idea and think, well, but I'm in Christ, so therefore I get to escape all the miseries of this life. What does Paul say? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who has subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so, yes, in Christ we've been set free from the wrath and curse of God, but we still participate fully in the miseries of this life, the pains of this life. It's not until Christ returns that our bodies shall be set at liberty. And of course, death itself. Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so we see the spread, its completion, and the pains of hell forever. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and there will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's a popular mistaken idea that the Old Testament is a book of judgment and the New Testament is a book of life. There's a real sense in which the Old Testament is a declaration of grace to come, and the New Testament is a declaration of judgment to come. And in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks more about hell than any other person in the Scriptures. Paul mentions hell, yes. John mentions it, yes. Peter, yes. Jude, yes. But Jesus is the one who speaks about it the most frequently. And so the pains of hell forever are not just a poetic description. They are the lot of those who shall, for all eternity, be separated from the kind, forgiving presence of our Savior and enter into eternal punishment as they are in his, seeing his gaze of wrath and fury for all eternity. And so this is the estate of everyone born of Adam. And so let us pray that it is not so of us as we flee to Christ. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we turn in particular, Lord willing, to the good news of the gospel. Thank you, and God bless.